there's a service that only this type of middleman can perform. Job understands two things. Number one, God is great. Number two, I am not. God is so transcendent and so mighty and so powerful, and I am so puny and not that. There's this huge gap between us.
Being in the middle isn't always a good thing. I don't know about you, but I do not like the middle seat of an airplane. Give me the window or the aisle, because in the middle, it's like being squeezed in a vise. Then there's the middle child. They don't have the privileges of the oldest, and they don't get the lavish attention of the youngest. Yes, being in the middle is pretty tough at times, but as we'll learn today on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, there is one area where it's absolutely vital for someone, the right someone, to be in the middle. We'll learn more in a moment, but first, we wanted to tell you about Pastor Skip's new book on Genesis, releasing this month.
The book of Genesis is the key that unlocks your understanding of the rest of the Bible.
I suggest you really won't understand anything else in the Bible until you understand Genesis. It is foundational. It tells us everything. The origin of the universe, the origin of man, the origin of sin and the fall of man, the origin of marriage, the origin of human government, the origin of the nation of Israel through whom the Messiah would come. It is foundational.
We want to help you make sense of this critical book of the Bible by sending you Pastor Skip's helpful study, You Can Understand the Book of Genesis. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift today to help connect more people to solid Bible teaching so they can grow in their relationship with Jesus. Get your copy of You Can Understand the Book of Genesis when you give today at connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888.
Open your Bibles to Job chapter 9, and we'll join Skip Heitzig for the start of this message.
I heard a story that Billy Graham flew to Charlotte back home after a crusade, and outside of the airport after he landed was this long black limousine to pick him up and take him home. And as they were getting in the car, Dr. Graham turned to the limousine driver and said, "Hey, you know, I'm almost 90 years old, and I've never driven a limousine. Do you mind if I drive for a while?" So the limo driver said, "Sure, go ahead." So they got in the car, off they went. Well, not far away was a young rookie state trooper setting up his first speed trap. And that black limo zoomed by doing 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. The trooper was all excited, chased the limo and started his procedure. The car pulled over. And that dark driver's window came down, revealing the driver as Dr. Billy Graham. State trooper looked at him, gulped, turned red, and said, "Excuse me." Went back to his car, wired his supervisor, and said, "Look, I know that I'm supposed to uphold the law, but I also know that certain courtesies are given to important people. I've got somebody here really important. I don't know what to do." The supervisor asked, "Well, is it the governor?" And the young trooper said, "Nope, more important than that." The supervisor said, "Well, is it the president?" "Nope, more important than that." Well, now the supervisor's curiosity has piqued, and he said, "Well, tell me who it is." And the state trooper said, "I think it must be Jesus, because he's got Billy Graham as his chauffeur." Well, I got to tell you, I feel the same way about the book of Job. It is far more important than most people make it out to be. This book has been lauded by people who have said it is great literature, like George Moore of Harvard University, who said the book of Job is the greatest work of Hebrew literature that has come down to us. Nope, it's more important than that. Others say it is the highest poetical work of mankind. Alfred Lord Tennyson, poet laureate of England, called Job the greatest poem of ancient or modern times. Nope, it's even more important than that. Others place it among the classics, like the works of William Shakespeare or the work of Dante or Milton and others. But no, it's far more important than any of those adulations. And here's why. Number one is because it's divinely inspired. And number two, because out of this book echoes the deepest cries of humanity for things spiritual or for things in life. The deepest, darkest feelings of man emerge through Job. And when we hear him arguing with his friends and wrestling with issues about God and life and the purpose of suffering, we're getting that deep heart cry for the most important things. So, the book of Job, though it highlights a man who is suffering, it shows us, perhaps more than any other Old Testament book, our need for Jesus Christ. Because all of the things Job cries for or wants are fulfilled in Christ, and really not until Christ. In chapter 9, at the end of this chapter, Job is crying out for a person, a very specific kind of person, a helper, a very special kind of helper, a middleman. And in studying this, we are studying something that might be new for some of you in considering the great redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do is look at the cry of Job and then the answer of Jesus. What Job asks for, I need a helper. And then Jesus stepping forward in the New Testament saying, help has arrived. So I take you to chapter 9, beginning in verse 32 for context. We'll read to verse 35. Job is speaking of God. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. He cries in verse 33 for a mediator. There is no mediator who can lay his hand on us both. Listen to that in the Living Bible translation. For there is no umpire between us, no middleman, no mediator to bring us together. Now, Job obviously understands there's a gap, there's a chasm between he and God. And so he cries for a mediator, a middleman. Typically, when you hear or think of the word middleman, you think not of somebody good, because we're talking these days about cutting out the middleman. You've seen the ads. Buy factory direct, cut out the middleman. So if you have a manufacturer and a retailer and a customer, if you were to cut out the middleman, the retailer, and the customer could go directly to the manufacturer, you'd have a substantial savings. That's the idea. So let's say a farmer makes butter, and neighbor Bob buys a pound of butter from the farmer for $2 a pound. Then neighbor Bob sells the butter to the local store for $3 a pound, and the local store sells it to you and I, the customer, for $5 a pound. Well, what if you could cut out neighbor Bob and the store? And what if you as a customer could go directly to the farmer? You've just saved $3 a pound on butter. So the more people get involved, the more levels of distribution, the more people to get paid, and the price goes up. And if you cut those middle people away, that's the thought, there will be a savings. But here Job asks for a middleman, what he calls a mediator. Now, why does he do that? Because there is a service that only this type of middleman can perform. Job understands two things. Number one, God is great. Number two, I am not. God is so transcendent and so mighty and so powerful, and I am so puny and not that. There's this huge gap between us. I want you to see that. I want you to see how he speaks of God. Beginning in verse 5, go back with me and follow. He removes the mountains, and they do not know it. When he overturns them in his anger, he shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, those constellations you see, and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? And who can say to him, what are you doing? God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. You see what Job is saying? There's this huge gulf between deity and humanity, between heaven and earth, between spirit and flesh. I notice that gap. I realize how big and great God is and that I am not those things. So I need someone special. I need an intermediary, a mediator, an umpire, a middleman, is what he cries for. Now, people recognize their need for God. Now, I'm saying this very generally. I know people at their proudest moments do not, but get them at their crisis moments. Get a person struck by a disease, the person who says, never actually says to you, I'll pray about that, never thinks about God. Maybe you know a person like that you work with, but in a crisis, personal crisis or a 9/11 type of crisis, watch that person come to you and say, hey, next time you pray, would you mind praying for me? Or, I've been praying lately. That person will cry out to God. It's man saying, I need to reach God. But how can I? Well, you can't without a bridge, an intermediary, a mediator, as he calls it. I want you to look back at verse 33. And here's why Job asked for a mediator. Notice the second part of that verse. Who may lay his hand on us both. Don't miss that, because that is the definition of a mediator. This is what a mediator does. He stands between two parties that are not reconciled and brings them together, lays a hand on one, so to speak, lays a hand on another, and brings them together. He mediates. He's the bridge between those parties. If there's a gap, he'll fill the gap. A lawyer is a mediator. A defense attorney stands in a law court with a defendant who doesn't know the legal system, but now who is in trial. But this lawyer knows the legal system, and he knows how to bridge the gap between justice represented by the judge and the defendant, and he can bring them together. A counselor is a mediator. Could take two parties that are at odds with each other and in a counseling session or several sessions, help them understand one another and bring them together. I've talked to women who say things like, I'll never understand men. These are married women who are married to men. Or men who go, I just don't get women. Okay, well, now this is dawning on you after how long? Opposites do attract, but now you're saying, well, we don't understand each other, and now there's an impasse in the relationship. A good counselor will help them both understand one another. When she is saying this, this is what she is meaning. Oh, I get it. A very important role, a mediator, or an interpreter. If you've ever been in a foreign country, you don't speak the language, but you have somebody there who can interpret for you both what you hear and what you say. Important, invaluable. Several years ago, I went to Iraq. I had the privilege of being in Baghdad, and I brought with me 32,000 of your presents, Christmas boxes, shoe boxes, across the Jordanian border into Baghdad. I was in a room and I was meeting with the Minister of Religious Affairs under the reign of Saddam Hussein for the country of Iraq. Now, you could not have two polar opposites, more polar opposites than that in a room. Me, a Christian minister from America. Okay, we had just bombed them. Little perspective here. And the Minister of Religious Affairs, a Muslim under Saddam Hussein's regime, and we're communicating together. Couldn't have been done without a mediator. And luckily there was one, Sammy Dagger, a friend of mine, a pastor from Beirut, Lebanon, spoke Arabic, knows Muslim custom, knows Iraqi culture, sat in that room and interpreted between me and this minister and other cabinet members, and even in the conversation could lay a hand on me and lay a hand on that minister and bring us together. So much so that at the end of the conversation, this is what the Minister of Religious Affairs for Iraq said. He said to me, "Up until this point, I have always believed that the West hates us, and Christians, especially in the West, hate us. But now I understand that it is the Christians who are the ones that love us." That could not have been done without the help of a mediator, someone who understood both languages, both cultures, both parties, and could bring us together by himself being that bridge. That's what a mediator does, and that is what Job cries out for. Well, that's the same need we have today. Because any thinking person who uses reason, logic, looking around at this world will come to the conclusion there must be a God. He looks around at what has been, at least it looks like, designed, this ordered cosmos looks as if it anticipated human life. And so by looking at how things are designed, he comes to the conclusion there must be a designer. Best example I can think of was a man named Antony Flew. I don't know if you've heard his name. Antony Flew was probably the most famous intellectual atheist of modern times. Until 2004, when he shocked the world with this statement, and I quote, "God must exist. And this universe must be the product of an intelligent designer." Here was a thinking man looking around at this huge, wonderful, beautiful world and came to the conclusion there must be a God. Okay, but then you got to take the next step. How can I, as a human, make contact with this God? I mean, what do I do? Do I just start praying in the air, any person, anywhere, and God will just kind of take that? Is that all I do? Do I come on my own terms? Is there a bridge that will connect me? Do I join some religious system or path of enlightenment that will lead me to God? How do I get to know this designer? Well, Job cries out for a mediator. But I want you to look at verse 33 more carefully in terms of who's around him. Who's around him, by the way? Three friends, right? This is a conversation Job is having with Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. But Job says, implying something about them, "Nor is there any mediator between us who can lay his hand on us both." Now, these three guys were Job's buddies, and they were good friends as long as they shut up. They sat there and they wept with him and they showed compassion. But then one day they decided to speak because Job, he shot out his feelings. And so they correspondingly shout out their feelings. And basically they say, "God is righteous. You must be wicked because you're suffering and you're just getting what you deserve." So what Job is saying is, "You're no help. You're not a mediator. You're not an advocate. You're not an umpire for me. You're accusing me. You have no help at all." Now, they thought they were, but they weren't. Well, nothing really has changed. Today, in the midst of humanity crying out to know God, there's no shortage of would-be mediators who will say, oh, I know how to fix this. I'll bring you into contact with God. I'll show you the path of enlightenment. I'll be your guru. I'll be your spiritual guide. I'll, for a fee, read your horoscope or tell your fortune or read your palm. There's no shortage of would-be contacts or mediators between man and God. Years ago, Bob Dylan wrote a song acknowledging this plethora of would-be religious guides in a song, and the lyrics go, spiritual advisors and gurus to guide your every move, instant inner peace, and every step you take has got to be approved. It's a song called When You're Gonna Wake Up. Well, Job cried out for that, and what Job wanted, he never got. Nobody was around in his generation to be his mediator. This is early on in the Old Testament. Later on, a priesthood would be developed. But a priest was only one who represented the people before God. And much later on, the prophets would come. But prophets were only people who represented God to the people. There was not one person who would do both, representing God and representing man and bringing both parties together. That's what Job is crying out for. Now, here's what a lot of people don't understand. They hear what I say about there's this gap between us and God, and you say, what's the big deal? What we don't understand is that sin, by its very nature, is so vile and corrupt, and God is so perfect and holy that our sin creates this huge, impassable gap unless something is done. Listen to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59, verse 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Well, that's a very, very insightful text. Here's God. Yep, he's powerful. Yep, he can hear everything. Yep, he can do anything. But sin is such a separator that God won't hear unless something is done.
You know, bridges help us get to where we want to go. Without Jesus Christ serving as our bridge with God, we would never see heaven. We'll talk more about the vital role Jesus plays as our bridge to heaven and the middleman in our relationship with God next time. But before we go, if you'd like to listen to other teachings by Skip, we have over 3,000 of them from many different teaching series available online. You'll find a teaching that covers the topic you're interested in when you visit connectwithskip.com. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, we have it available for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888. You can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. But no matter how you get in touch with us, we look forward to hearing from you. We'll continue our series, Job Meets Jesus, next time on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.